right, we're on, huh? We're good? Okay, well, guys, it's good to be with you. Technical difficulty. I don't know if it is tied into the polar vortex or not, but it has been cold in Victoria, Texas. 19 degrees, wind chill below that. And I'm sorry, we're getting late on the air. Tamara, I hear technical difficulty. I think about a technical in my old basketball games because I feel that same anger come up. But hey, we're looking forward to today. It's going to be a great webinar. We're going to talk about the friends pastors need. And of course, we're excited. We have 200 plus friends who are going to be here with us Monday to Wednesday in our significant leader, significant church gathering. But it's such an important thing because pastors steward a lot of lives. You know, we have our own life, our spouse's life, our kids' life, our staff life, and we're trying to help all of them really become everything God wants them to be. And a big part of that is teaching everybody in our world, including ourselves, how to have the friendships that cause God to answer our prayers and do the things that he's wanted to do. So you and I have been married 39 years. We've been at this for a while. I'm looking forward to this today. How about you?
I am. I'm excited about today. It's always good to be with other pastors and leaders and who are doing the same thing we're doing. So good afternoon, everybody. So glad you've joined us. Jim, we've seen firsthand how much better we are together. I mean, we are so grateful for the wonderful pastors and friends that we have that have helped us really be better pastors and people. You know, but you've talked often about the five men mentioned in Acts 13, and I want to talk about that just for a second. The two things that God saw in them that caused them to do some really special things. Number one, they had the hunger they needed to win and to succeed. And number two, they had the help, which is what we're talking about today. They had the help they needed to succeed. So I'm going to just read this passage quickly from Acts 13. It says, "Now in the church in Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manian, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Lord said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them.'" You know, people who fast are hungry to do something for God. Some of us are fasting now and during these first few weeks of the year. So we know what it's like to be hungry, but we've seen almost for four decades of ministry, pastors that are hungry to fulfill God's purpose in their regions, in their part of the world, and our heart is to be able to connect them with people who can help them succeed and enjoy the process.
Yeah. You know, I'm excited about this, Tamara, because I've been a pastor who needed this. Yeah. And, you know, my dad, I'll always be grateful for my dad because he coached me. And in coaching me, he taught me to receive from people, you know. And so for a lot of us as pastors, we never had that opportunity. We don't realize what can happen if we intentionally set up our life where we give to people and we receive from people things that we need. I'll never forget my brother coached at Tulane, that I would go there in the summers. I worked as a deputy sheriff and played on the sheriff's softball team. And also would go to the weight room, just work out with the guys. You know, my brother's their coach. And, you know, about every 2 weeks, this guy would walk in with these three little kids behind him. And okay. And I knew who he was because I was an NFL fan. It was Archie Manning, the quarterback of the New Orleans Saints previously, and he had three little boys, Cooper, Peyton, and Eli behind him. I wish I'd brought a football and had those little boys autograph it. It'd be worth something today. But he passed something on to them, right? And a lot of us never had a pastor pass on to us like that. I was fortunate that I had your dad who helped me. But a lot of pastors haven't. So this show is really geared towards helping them find the relationships that they need so that feeling of isolation goes and they feel like the right people are investing in them. And some of that's, you know, personal, some of that's through books and podcasts and other ways that we have people invest in us. But today there's five things that every pastor needs as we're managing our relationships. And that's what we're going to talk. We're not going to talk about the kind of friends you need. We're going to talk about what these friends need to bring into our life. So the first thing we need is accessibility to people, right?
Yes, that's what we're going to talk about first. And, you know, when babies are born, you know, we're parents of four, they need people, don't they? They're dependent on the help of others. Proverbs 29, Verse 15 says, a child left undisciplined disgraces its mother. Discipline is required to succeed, to fulfill, you know, God's grace on our life, like that scripture talks about. And the price of discipline is always easier when we know the outcome will be worth it. So parenting is really about modeling for our kids the value of what it means to honor God. Then it's about training so that they develop and take hold of God's best for their life. But we need access to people who have what we need at every stage of life and ministry, every season, because it's been said we can't go places if we don't know how to get there. We all know that's true. The instruction given to Moses in Exodus 18 was really about accessibility. And we've all read about it, but it's such a great passage for pastors and leaders. So I'm going to read. It's long, but it's helpful. Jimmy, you want me to read the whole thing? It's really good.
You do what you want. Yeah.
It says, the next day, Moses took his seat to serve as judge for the people, and they stood around him from morning till evening. That's a long day. When his father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he said, what is this you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge while all these people stand around you from morning till evening? Moses answered, because the people come to me to seek God's will. Whenever they have a dispute, it's brought to me, and I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and instructions. Moses' father-in-law replied, what you are doing is not good. He said, not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear themselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. Listen now to me and I will give you some advice. May God be with you. You must be the people's representative before God to bring their disputes to him. Teach them his decrees and instructions and show them the way they're to live and how they are to behave. But select capable men from all people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. What a great plan, right? Have them serve as judges for the people at all times, but have them bring every difficult case to you, the simple cases they can decide themselves. That will make your load lighter because they will share it with you. If you do this and God so commands, you'll be able to stand the strain and all these people will go home satisfied. See, that's the Moses model. We all know that it works. It produced satisfied sheep. It helps us stand the strain as pastors and leaders. The people wanted someone accessible to them who could help them just like we all do. And Jim, you've taught us as a staff, you know, to really have a plan for continuing education where we're learning from people, we're learning from podcasts, from books. We need both resources and relationships. And as pastors, we care about people living equipped, but we know we can't do it all. So number one, it will wear us out. Secondly, we steal the significance of those called to do their part. None of us can be a whole family, what the whole family is to be to each other. So we need a leader and a team of leaders doing their part. And, you know, that's really good. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, it's just amazing that, you know, people have written books. And when you pick up a book, I know a lot of people are into podcasts today, and I think that's good too. But I really like books because books are like 13 to 15 messages somebody spoken.
Right.
And so when you pick up a book, it's really like they're sitting there with you, talking to you and helping you. And so it's such a good thing. And accessibility is interesting because Moses couldn't be accessible to everybody. I mean, pastors hear it all the time. People want accessibility, and we have to train them that the accessibility they're asking for sometimes it's not possible because we can't be omnipresent. Only God can be omnipresent.
Right. But
the accessibility they really need is available through how God has anointed people to write books and to lead things and to do things. But accessibility is huge. And we have to think through sometimes in our life, instead of feeling like, man, I don't know how I'm going to do this. It's good to start thinking, okay, who do I have accessibility to? Who can I be accessible to through books, through podcasts? Who can help me with this? And it's interesting that even Jesus had relationships that he built for different reasons, right? Like he had the three, Peter, James, and John. And he said, would you guys stay with me while I pray in the Garden of Gethsemane? And of course, that was, you know, that was not easy. That was when he was getting ready to bear the cross and to do the toughest thing he ever did in his life. And of course, they disappointed him, you know, and sometimes we disappoint each other too. But in their heart, they wanted to strengthen Jesus. They wanted to be what Jesus wanted them to be. And so I think what we have to do is start sometimes, and pastors need accessible friends. I know when I was a young pastor, your dad, I don't know if you know this, but the first week I worked for him, he called me into his office, and we were sitting there for whatever the reason. And he looked at me and he said, well, now that you're here, I got to pray about what all God needs me to put in you. And yeah. I wasn't thinking that way. You know, I was thinking about all these things we were going to do and the young adult program we were going to build and all that. But he was thinking of the more important work, which is what God was going to do on the inside of my heart. And we need to think about that as pastors. We don't naturally think about it. We naturally think of what we want to do for the Lord, right? But what we got to think about is what God wants to do on the inside of us. And we all do need, you talked about a continuing ed plan. We need an intentional plan to stay strengthened, because we don't just stay strengthened. Yeah. So what's your plan to stay refreshed? We need an intentional plan to get to grow sharper. God says iron has to sharpen iron. And that doesn't just happen. Pretty soon we're working and we're not learning the things that we need to learn. So anyway, working for your dad helped me to the point that when I started pastoring, I literally would listen to older pastors I admired. Of course, your dad, I listened to every tape you ever preached from the time I married you. But I also listened to a lot of Jack Hayford. I listened to Rick Warren, listened to Tommy Barnett. And what was happening was these older pastors were accessible to help me. So it's important that we as pastors don't start this year feeling isolated, but we start thinking about, okay, who's accessible to me and how am I going to build those relationships? Here's the second kind of friend we need. We need friends who want to assist us, right? Who want to help us.
Right. Yeah. We love to see when people are assisted as pastors or helped along in their journey. And it's happening well through this network that we're a part of right now. People share wisdom and prayer and ideas, or, you know, I know they've helped us in disaster situations. So many things. Of course, you know, we could always do it better, but Ecclesiastes 4:9-12, a familiar scripture, says two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either one of them falls down, one can help the other up, but pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. You know, that's not a place any of us would want to be. Also, if two lie down together, they keep warm, but how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not easily broken. But we can do together what we can't do alone. We all know that, and we're all going to need some help at one time or another. And it's important that we know, you know, there's someone who cares enough about us, continuing in God's will for our life, that they'll support us in every season that we go through. And Jim, we can think of plenty of people who've done that for us throughout the years, and we can think of others that we've been able to do that for. And I love what you say about this scripture. Living in relationship makes life richer, stronger, warmer, and safer. I also like what Clarence the Angel said in It's a Wonderful Life. No man is a failure who has friends. We're always, always better together. And I'm thankful for the friends that God has given us.
Yeah, you know, we can't be accessible to everybody. We can't assist everybody, right? But right. There are people that are what we call postage stamp friends. And that is, they're going to stick with you, whatever you go through, until you reach the end. And a pastor needs to have those kind of people in their lives. I can think of times in my life. One time we had something going on in our own family, you know, really hard to deal with. But there was a friend who knew me since I was 21 years old. And he wants to help me. When I call him, he's glad that I called him, because he wants to help me. And the thing is, he's not only a sharp pastor with a lot of wisdom, but he's known me since we were 22. Yeah. So when he's speaking into the situation, he doesn't just know, okay, this is tough to deal with. He knows me. He knows what makes me mad. He knows what my strengths are. He knows where I don't have as much grace in a certain part of my life. And so I'll never forget the counsel was just really rich. When I got off the phone, I was just so thankful that I had a friend who wanted to say yes whenever I called him the things I was going through. Interesting, not long ago, I called the same friend about something, and we laughed and talked, and then he said, you know what, I don't have your answer. I got the same problem you do. So now we're just trying to find answers together, right, to something that we're facing. But assistance is something we can think on, accessibility is something we could need to think about on a lot of levels, because there's a lot more help than what we know out there.
Right.
I mean, guys are listening to us, and we've been doing these webinars for a while now. And so there are things you might be struggling with. You can just go to our website. You can go to a webinar, and a pastor will have answers that you need. Assistance is different, right? You know, if I'd like to think we'd all stop our car and help somebody who broke down on the side of the road. But what if 10 people are broken down? What if you've got to be somewhere in 2 minutes? Like, what if I'm driving to church and I have to preach and somebody's broken down on the side of the road? But we need people because challenges are predictable. And having the right people, like you talked about, who make our life more productive because they know things we don't, they make it warmer. Those are important things in our life. Okay, let's talk about the third kind of friend that we need, and that's somebody who helps us stay accountable. My goodness.
Yeah, that's a pretty important one. You know, when we do have, a lot of pastors have done this as long as we have, almost 40 years. You have people that you are get to celebrate with because of how God's work and will is coming to pass in their life. But we all know we have people we hurt for because maybe they didn't, you know, stick with it long enough to get to things that, so that the right fruit is produced. And so, you know, you just hurt for those kind of people because you know their potential was great. But that's why we need friends who will keep us accountable. What a blessing to have people who help us in that, in areas where we need it. Scripture says that the wounds of a friend are faithful, and they are what we need to keep us moving forward in life. And but we have to let them into our life, and that's part of it. If they're going to help us, right, there won't be any real accountability without transparency and even vulnerability on our part.
Wow, that's tweetable right there. There will be no accountability without transparency and without vulnerability. Those are two tough things.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, when I think of probably the biggest sins that pastors struggle with, the first one is comparison, right? We want to look good.
Right.
And, you know, Paul's words are so interesting in 2 Corinthians 10 regarding this. He says, we do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with someone who commends themselves, because when they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise. It's so interesting because I read that one day, and Paul's not just saying we shouldn't compare. We don't dare compare ourselves to somebody else because we're not made the same thing, to do the same thing.
Right.
I mean, why would a rabbit compare itself to a deer? Why would a lion and a mouse compare each other? We were all made for different things, right? But what's interesting is Paul says we don't dare to classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves. You know, there's some environments where if we're just honest, people are commending themselves a lot and they don't get it. That's not what we're here to do. I'm not here to commend myself. I'm here to build other people up who are around me. But a lot of pastors have this constant heaviness on them because they're not trying to do their best. They're trying to be the best, and they're commending themselves. They're comparing themselves. Sometimes they get in little circles among themselves where they commend themselves a lot. That's really unhealthy. It doesn't build healthy families. The second thing is, when you talked about vulnerability, that accountability needs transparency. This is who I really am, and I'm comfortable with it, right? And then it needs vulnerability. The Bible says we're to confess our sins to each other. And if we'll do that, God is faithful and just, and people can bring us healing. And really talking about our weaknesses is really so important, because when we talk about our weaknesses, we start understanding how we can get better, you know? And sometimes our weakness is just something that we find somebody to help us with. Sometimes our weakness is something that can be invested in. But either way, if we start comparing ourselves with other people, instead of just trying to be the best we can be, and we're shutting people out. And sadly, it's really true. We're going to talk about it in just a minute. Things that have happened to ministers, that if they wanted to shut themselves out, if they would look for accessibility, which means there's somebody on this planet that can solve my problem.
Yeah, that's good.
If they'd look for assistance, there's somebody who cares about me making it through this. And then if there was, you know, the ability to be accountable, we're going to get the right people speaking into this.
Yeah.
We're going to have people who really can help us, and we're going to be accountable. We think about the pain that could have been stopped in people's lives.
Yeah. You know, Jim, I was thinking yesterday, I was reading, I was reading a book by Charles Stanley, Pastor Charles Stanley, and he said that when he was in his, probably in the middle of his ministry, he came to a kind of an impasse, and there was something going on in his heart, and he didn't know how to get through it. He didn't feel like the love for God, his love for God was, he couldn't really, he didn't really experience it like he wanted to. So he called four friends and they stayed with him on the phone all day, talked to him. He got on the phone the next day with him. I think that he said he spent 7 hours on the phone. The next day he wrote out just 17 pages of his life, his past, and he shared it with all four of these guys. And he said there was an unleash of God's love that happened. He said it changed his career and he was allowed to go on and minister. That could have stopped had it not been for those four
men. We know people that got stopped, because what you talked about is the fourth thing we need from our friends, and that's agreement. Agreement and prayer. He came into agreement with people who could help him.
Absolutely. And that's an important one. That's the fourth one. Yeah, and a really important one. I remember when God spoke to you about a couple who was going through difficulty and you were really concerned. We both were. You woke up several times at 3 a.m. and God kept putting Matthew 18 on your heart. But there was an agreement. And sadly, the marriage that we were trying to help, the family, and even the church are not together today. The church was once really strong, doesn't exist anymore. So I want to read this text that addresses the fact that we're all imperfect. We all know that. We all need God's perspective so we walk in agreement with him and each other. The Bible says in Matthew 18, if your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you've won them over. But if they'll not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen, even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or tax collector. Truly, I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I tell you, if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. So it's not just talking about going to any believer here, but brothers and sisters, like you're talking about, we're close to those we've developed relationship with and who we're transparent and vulnerable with, in the past. So that's who God is talking about answering the prayers of. And, all of us, have faults. We all need friends. But we're supposed to be persistent, really, in trying to reach a place of agreement and unity. If we can't, we protect other people. But Jesus said we need heaven's help in binding the enemy, who gets us out of agreement with God and we need people who lose heaven's wisdom and strength in our behalf so that we prevail through our difficulties. And, God calls us to form these bonds of agreement that keep us growing and that keep us fruitful in our life.
Yeah. Tim, I'm still thinking about the people we talked about that we even helped them get to one of the most respected marriage counselors for pastors in the country, And I remember him calling me afterwards and saying, they're just not fighting to be in agreement. I mean, there was something that caused them to fight for disagreement, to fight for their own way. And man, it's so costly whenever we do that. And I like what Mark Twain said, he said, sometimes we don't just need help with what we don't know. He said, we need help with the things that we think we do know, but it just ain't so, right? We think we do know it, but it just ain't so. And when people don't have what we're talking about right now, and I know, George Barna, this is something I'll talk about in the conference, but do you know that pastors feel 50% more isolated than they did even a decade ago? Isolation was an issue with pastors a decade ago.
Yeah.
But it's an even bigger issue now. And as we start this year, I hope today's webinar helps some pastors who say, I wasn't created to live isolated. There's a reason I feel wrong whenever I'm isolated. Some of you, I hope you just decide, I'm going to hear this webinar and I'm going to that conference. I'm going to hang out with some great, great pastors and make some great friends. But accessibility will change your life. I mean, you heard Rick Warren on Focus on the Family when I was a young pastor. And you said, Jim, he said some things I know you need to hear. So I went back and listened to it, ended up ordering all kinds of things on how to market my church and the things we share on webinars. I mean, I was learning things from him back then. So there are people that, think about accessibility and what you can do this year to not feel so isolated, to feel like there are people in the battle with you, and then assistance, people who really do want to say yes. To me, these webinars are somebody wanting to say yes to pastors, right? But ultimately, we're looking for people who make us accountable to new things. And change isn't easy. It's not easy to change your thought patterns, to change your diet, to change things. But the great thing about it is once you see what to be accountable to and you really start to change, there's a momentum that happens. Like there's a momentum when you lose that first 5 pounds. There's momentum when you hit 10 pounds, right? There's a momentum whenever you're broke and you start making money. You know, we have a friend who's a multimillionaire, and he says that people just go to work. You know, so often their negative feelings get them, and they're lost in drama. And instead of making good decisions, they're lost in drama, right? Yeah. And good friends keep you from doing that. And ultimately, it's about agreement. It's about coming into agreement with new things, and that's what good friends do for each other. And then here's the final one we'll close with, and that is affection, right? That we all want to have close relationships. We want that special feeling in our heart with people. But it doesn't start with affection. If somebody came in you hardly knew and they started being affectionate, you'd think that was weird, right? Mm-hmm. But if we start with accessibility and assistance and accountability and agreement, pretty soon a deep affection forms.
Yeah. And the truth is God created different kinds of loves, right? And he has important reasons for them all. Phileo, which is the word Philadelphia comes from, city of brotherly love. God wants to strengthen that kind of love. Phileo is the shoulder-to-shoulder love that, you know, you're called to make things happen together. Like the scripture in Zephaniah, I've always loved it. He purifies our lips and lives so that we serve him shoulder-to-shoulder. So we see this, you know, in the athletic world course that you were in, or warriors, there's a love because you're fighting together to win something. And you know, we're just so glad that you joined us today. If, you know, we want to encourage you, if you can all at all be at the conference this year, we would love that. I know it's just a few days away, but we would love to have you. If you found this helpful today, make sure you subscribe and that you share it too with friends that may need it. This network happens because of churches and organizations that sponsor it. We make no money from this. Jim, I've watched you work hard for lots of years, but you don't make any money. We want to see pastors and leaders come out of isolation, and we want to see them invested in. We care about them because they are able to change their region and their world. So anyway, if it helps, subscribe and share. Never know who may need it right now. We like to think of these webinars as our bi-monthly lunch appointments where we can sit on our couch or at our desk and just talk. So,
yeah. Oh, you talked about sports, and I was just thinking, I mean, we've all seen it when a guy gets ready to retire and he'll start bawling. I mean, grown men, strong men just start bawling and talking about how much they're going to miss it. And sometimes you think, so what are you going to miss? Like a football player, so you're going to miss all those grueling practices? Are you going to miss people that weigh 235 pounds or 300 pounds solid rock smacking you? What are you going to miss? What they're going to miss, usually it's the relationships in the locker room. That's what you miss the most. And sure. God wants us all really to have those kind of relationships. I love what you talked about, phileo love, being shoulder-to-shoulder love that's focused on a goal. And that's the kind of friends I have in Significant Church. Our one goal is just to help get more and more pastors out of isolation and into really healthy relationships, because a lot of people don't know what they could accomplish if they would quit trying so hard in their own strength and live in isolated. Yeah. If they would just get with the program, watch the webinars. We have a whole coaching arm, the Significant Church. You can get great coaching. And pretty soon, what you're going to find is you can make it. I don't know if you remember when we were in Hawaii years ago, that four of us chose to go paragliding and two of you chose to pray for those who went paragliding.
Yeah, really.
Myself, Michael, Emily, Jeffrey all went paragliding. And Jeffrey was first up because he was the youngest. The guide chose it. We didn't choose it. So we weren't just putting Mikey out like that life cereal commercial. And Jeffrey took off running. And right before he got to the edge of the cliff, because you went off like this 2,500-foot cliff and you sailed across the island, it was beautiful. But right before he went off the cliff, the guy went, stop! Jeffrey stopped. I mean, like four steps from the cliff. So we all said, what happened? He said, well, the wind stopped. And he said, you don't want to take off when the wind stops. And that's really what it's like not to have good friendships, is you're not going to have the wind beneath your wings. You're not going to have what you need to sail where you're trying to go. And so that's why, you know, that's why we have the Significant Church Network, And I hope this helped you today. Again, we didn't talk about you need a mentor, you need a friend. I think a lot of us have heard that. But what do you need them to do? You need them to be accessible. You need to start the year thinking, who's accessible to me? Who can help me? Yeah. What assistance are they going to bring? What accountability? Am I going to be accountable to getting help this year? Am I going to come in agreement with people, or am I going to go back to my old habits? And if we start doing that, affection starts forming. I mean, I have great affection for people I've hardly met, that if I ever met them, I would tell them how much they changed my life, because I've never sat in a room with them there, but I've sat in a room with their books, and their books have meant so much to me. So again, we hope that helped you. Want to give you one more invitation to our conference. And Tamara mentioned this, but if you haven't subscribed, we'd love for you to subscribe. You know, this year at the conference, we have a few different organizations that are going to pay for the meals of pastors. They're going to start sponsoring some of our webinars because they care about pastors. So I'm excited. We're getting stronger together. And so again, I apologize for the technical difficulty today. I hate it just like you do, but I'm glad we had this time together. Tamara, do you want to pray for them before we go?
Yeah, I'd love to. Lord, we're so honored and blessed to be called by you to feed and care for your flock. Father, we know that we don't do it alone. You walk among our churches. You hold leaders. You sit in your hands. You equip, you empower, you bring the direction we need in every season. Thank you for our friends today, Lord. I pray that rich relationships would continue to be formed and fostered so that we live our very best life and that we do our best for you. We're grateful for the gift of friendship and for furthering your kingdom together. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, you guys have an awesome, awesome weekend. And we'll look forward to being with you again in 2 weeks.
Great to be with you. Thank you.